Hello, I'm Sebastian. Welcome to Nine Nartrees Podcast. Today, I will summarize and review the book, Daily Rituals. How Artists Work by Mason Curry is a compact work of literary and cultural nonfiction that examines how notable creative people organized ordinary days around. Demanding work. Adapted from Curry's earlier Daily Routines project, the book gathers brief profiles of more than 160 writers, painters, composers, philosophers, scientists, and other artists, drawing on diaries, biographies, letters, interviews, and memoirs. Its purpose is not to present a single productivity formula, but to show the practical conditions under which creative labor has actually happened. The book counters the romantic image of art as purely spontaneous by emphasizing schedules, repetitions, stimulants, walks, interruptions, solitude, domestic obligations, and self-imposed rules. Figures such as Beethoven, Kafka, Jane Austen, Toni Morrison, and many others appear less as distant geniuses than as workers managing time, energy, mood, money, and distraction. The result is both a reference book on creative habits and a quiet study of discipline in artistic life. I will give you key takeaways from this book. Firstly, routine as the hidden infrastructure of creative work. A central idea in Daily Rituals is that creative work depends less on rare inspiration than on repeatable conditions. Curry shows that many productive artists treated their days as carefully arranged systems, even when the actual routines differed widely. Regular waking times, protected work blocks, meals, walks, correspondence, and rest created a framework within which difficult imaginative work could recur. This matters because creative projects are often too large and uncertain to be completed through enthusiasm alone. A novel, symphony, painting practice, or philosophical system requires repeated contact with the work across long stretches of time. Routine reduces the need to renegotiate that contact every day. The book does not suggest that routine makes creation easy or mechanical. Instead, it presents routine as a stabilizing structure that allows artists to begin despite fatigue, doubt, boredom, or domestic pressure. The most revealing profiles are often mundane people sitting down at the same hour, protecting a few hours from interruption, or returning to work after a walk. Curry's cumulative point is that the visible achievement often rests on invisible repetition. Secondly, there is no universal creative schedule. Although the book strongly emphasizes discipline habits, it resists the idea that one schedule suits every artist. Curry places early risers beside night workers, highly social figures beside hermits, and long-hour laborers beside people who produce significant work in short daily sessions. Toni Morrison's early morning writing, Kafka's late-night sessions, and examples of writers who balanced creative work with jobs or household responsibilities illustrate that productivity often depends on fitting work into available energy rather than copying an ideal timetable. This variety is one of the book's most useful corrections to simplified productivity advice. It shows that a routine succeeds only when it matches temperament, obligations, health, and the nature of the work. Some creators required silence and isolation. Others wrote amid household noise or public activity. Some relied on strict regularity. Others changed methods when a project demanded it. The practical implication is not that every habit is equally useful, but that creative discipline must be personalized. Curry's profiles encourage readers to observe when they work best, what conditions sustain attention, and which constraints are unavoidable. Thirdly, creative achievement is shaped by material and social constraints. Daily Rituals is not only about personal discipline. It also reveals how creative work is affected by money, employment, domestic labor, illness, marriage, childcare, servants, patrons, and social expectations. Many artists did not possess unlimited freedom. Some wrote before or after paid work, some depended on family support, and others relied on controlled domestic arrangements that made uninterrupted labor possible. This dimension complicates the simple claim that great artists merely chose better habits. A routine is partly a personal decision, but it is also a response to the conditions available to a person. Curry's format makes these inequalities visible through contrast. A writer with independent income can design a day very differently from someone working a job or caring for a household. A painter with a studio has different possibilities from a novelist working at a kitchen table. The book, therefore, turns daily routine into a lens for examining the practical economy of art. Its profile suggests that creativity is never separate from ordinary logistics. Time must be carved out, protected, purchased, negotiated, or stolen from other demands. Fourthly, small rituals reduce decision fatigue and prepare the mind. Many of the habits in daily rituals appear eccentric at first: particular drinks, walks, working clothes, fixed writing locations, timed sessions, or carefully repeated preparations. Curry's interest in such details is not merely anecdotal. These rituals show how artists used repeated cues to move from ordinary life into concentrated work. A small ritual can lower friction by signaling that a certain kind of attention is expected now. It can also reduce decision fatigue. If the time, place, and opening sequence of work are already settled, less mental energy is spent deciding whether and how to begin. Beethoven's famous concern with coffee preparation, or the many examples of walks before or after work, point to the same principle: the body and environment become part of the creative system. The book does not claim that a ritual has magical power. Its value lies in repetition, association, and readiness. Even arbitrary habits may become useful if they help a person enter work consistently. Curry's catalog shows that creative concentration often begins before the first word, brushstroke, or note, in the small procedures that make attention available. Lastly, the book is a catalog of examples rather than a prescriptive system. One of the defining features of daily rituals is its form. Curry presents brief, tightly written profiles instead of a step-by-step method for becoming more creative. This structure gives the book range and momentum, allowing readers to compare many lives across different fields and historical periods. It also creates an important limitation. The book does not test which habits cause success, nor does it offer a systematic theory of productivity. Some routines are admirable, some unhealthy, some dependent on privilege, and some simply idiosyncratic. Readers looking for a direct manual may find the abundance of examples difficult to translate into action. Yet this descriptive approach is also the book's strength. By refusing to reduce creativity to a universal formula, Curry preserves the complexity of artistic life. The profiles show patterns without flattening different regular hours. Solitude, walks, stimulants, persistence, and protected attention recur, but they combine in different ways. The book is best read as a comparative field guide to creative practice. Its value lies in helping readers notice possibilities, trade-offs, and recurring problems rather than prescribing one correct way to work. In conclusion, Daily Rituals is best suited to readers interested in the working lives behind books, paintings, music, philosophy, and scientific thought. Writers, artists, designers, academics, and other people doing self-directed work will find it especially useful, not because it provides a complete productivity plan, but because it makes creative labor concrete. The book helps readers think about when they work, what conditions protect attention, how habits reduce resistance, and how ordinary constraints shape output. It also benefits readers with a general interest in biography, since its short entries reveal famous figures through meals, sleep, walks, correspondence, and work rhythms rather than through major achievements alone. Compared with many books on creativity and productivity, Curry's work stands out for its restraint. It does not promise transformation, build a branded method, or convert every anecdote into advice. Instead, it gathers a broad archive of lived practice and lets patterns emerge through accumulation. That makes it more intellectually modest, but often more credible than formula-driven guides. Its distinctive contribution is the demystification of creative genius. Artistic work appears not as a permanent state of inspiration, but as a set of recurring arrangements between time, body, attention, obligation, and persistence. For readers willing to draw their own conclusions, that comparative perspective is the book's lasting value. If you would like to support Mason Curry, you can buy the book through the Amazon link I've provided in the podcast description. After reading the book, please let me know what you think and share your thoughts. See you around.